Awesome. I love that. I love that. All right, all right, all right. Do you want to talk more about the play? Do you want to move on to the stage reading game?
Stage reading.
Yeah, I signed you up for a stage reading, Chiron. Are you okay with that?
Yeah. I'm literate.
Do you have your script open?
I do.
Love the Tokyo Closet Boho podcast, fun for one and all. Loving life and standing tall. Tokyo Closet Ball.
Record to the cloud. Hello, good evening. Welcome to the Tokyo Closet Ball podcast. My name is Tatiana, and with me for the first time as a co-host, previously known as the Diva of Chiba. Let's hear it for a pop culture scholar, Chiron.
Hi, Tatiana.
How are you doing this evening?
I'm not bad. It could be worse.
It could be worse. I mean, someone could forget to press record. That could be worse. Coming up as our guest, we've got a computer scientist, an actor, a thespian, and a lawyer. Let's hear it for Karen Polly.
Good evening, Tatiana. I'm not sure that most people refer to me as a lawyer, simply because I studied law at some point, but yes, it's lovely to be back.
In the courtroom, have you ever turned into a giant green woman?
No, sorry. Small woman here, not very She-Hulk-like in the slightest, and let's face it, where would I get the expandable clothing?
You'll get it from your gay
tailor.
Get it from the gay tailor. Awesome.
Yes. Not the me tailor, the gay tailor. Because I'm serving.
Well, I mean, I feel like we're using synonyms.
Honey, I'm in sin, but not the nim. Okay, listen. All right. Speaking of being Butch, let's welcome back to the podcast from John Hemstock Black and other plays. Give a warm welcome to Zach Kobayashi. Hey boy, hey, what you doing, man? Yeah.
Is that the image that I present?
No, sweetheart.
I just wanted to practice my trade voice. Was that good? Was that masculine?
Don't ask me. I don't think I have no idea. good. Tatiana, thank you very much. I'm excited to be here.
Welcome to everyone. Let's hear the elevator pitch. Let's see if I can say it without laughing. We're going to talk about Pride and Prejudice. Here we go. This isn't your grandmother's Jane Austen. Oh no. Bold, boisterous, and surprising, and timely, this Pride and Prejudice is for a new era. It explores the absurdities and thrills of finding your perfect or imperfect match in life. The outspoken Lizzie Bennet is determined to never marry, despite mounting pressure of society. But can she resist love, especially when the vaguely handsome, mildly amusing, and impressively aggravating Mr. Darcy keeps popping up at every turn? Literature's greatest tale of latent love has never felt so theatrical or so full of life as it does in this effervescent adaptation. Because what turns us into greater fools than the high stakes game of love? So
that's a RuPaul song.
A RuPaul song, the high stakes of love? No.
I'm a winner. I'm a winner, baby.
Yeah, I have a wiener, baby. Okay, listen. I'm sober tonight, I promise.
Lie to Minnelli.
Listen, you're just gonna have to trust me, y'all. Let's start with Chiron. What is your history with Jane Austen?
Oh, I have a lot of history with Jane Austen. I have all of her major and minor works in my small library. I studied literature at university, so of course I did have to do a lot of Jane Austen. And I know a lot about the era, I know a lot about the clothes, I know a lot about the social norms, I know everything there is to know about Jane Austen and that time.
Awesome, awesome, I love that. And you've also done some fan fiction, haven't you?
I have, yes. I wrote some really awful Jane Austen fan fiction that paid for my flight to Japan. I guess people had some spare change and they decided to share it with me. And I've been in Japan for 7 years.
I would love to hear that fan fiction. Yes.
No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. No, we're not featuring that.
No. That'll be on the Patreon list. Okay. Sign up for our Patreon and you don't have to read it. Okay, listen. Now let's hear from Karen Polly. Hey, you grew up in England-ish. What is your experience with Jane Austen and Pride and Prejudice?
All right. So first of all, I'm from Northern Ireland. So you need to be incredibly careful if you say to somebody from Northern Ireland that you grew up in England. That could be such a political faux pas that you have just made there. So no, I did not grow up in England-ish. So I grew up in Belfast in Northern Ireland. Okay, so we'll ignore where I grew up.
Would you like to cut that out, or are you okay?
Not at all. Leave it there. It's just funny. Just a funny thing to say. It's like, okay, that was different. Right, so, but I have certainly read Jane Austen. I have read Pride and Prejudice. I've read Sense and Sensibility. In fact, I really like Sense and Sensibility, much more so, I will say, than Pride and Prejudice.
Oh.
I am not I would not call myself a great Jane Austen fan, but then I do love to read, and she's certainly an excellent writer.
I'll take it.
That's right. She's a great writer, and I'm so happy to have an opinion from someone from Northern Scotland. My dad is English. I'm allowed to make that joke. Hey, speaking of countries, we've got a Japanese American. What's your experience with Jane Austen and the Regency area of England?
I like the order in which you chose to ask us, because I think you went from most experienced to least, because I have never read a Jane Austen novel. I have never, you know, really done any kind of work or anything with her. Not very familiar with the era either. Just seen some shows like Bridgerton and whatnot, but I am a virgin when it comes to Jane Austen. Let's just say that.
Ooh, baby. Oh.
Just a little baby.
Yes, yes. I first heard about Jane Austen in the bookstore. I saw this book called Pride and Prejudice and Zombies. It was such a great book, and I thought, you know, this would be great. Doesn't really need the zombies, though. I was so excited to find out there was a non-zombie version. Yeah. So I'm super excited to learn more about the Jane Austen verse. Is it a universe? Is it a shared universe?
It's not a shared universe, but in my fan fiction, it was.
Yes, the Jane Austen cinematic universe. I love it. So the Regency period, marriage was such a big thing. Let's start with Karen. You're playing the role of Mrs. Bennet, the mother of three. You're playing the role of Mrs. Bennet, the daughter.
Okay, I'm playing the role of Mrs. Bennet, who in this version is the mother of four daughters, unlike the book where she's actually the mother of five. So that's quite a lot of daughters to put on stage. So they have rolled the two younger ones into one character. Does that help?
Oh, I wish I could roll my two ex-boyfriends to one person. It would save so much time.
Is that all it would do? So anyway, you're asking about marriage, were you?
So yeah, this is not like nowadays. These women, their basic job is to get married and to marry up in life. Am I understanding that correctly? Like, what would be the dynamic of a mother with four daughters? What would she want from her children?
Well, the reason this mother with her four daughters wants them to get married is actually an issue of inheritance. Back to law again, as you were at the start, only not the green monster type. So this woman had daughters only. She didn't have a son. And unfortunately, in this time period or time frame, see, I can't speak either, the daughters could not inherit it.
What do you mean either? I speak super good.
You do. You're awesome. How do you know I was referring to you, though? Anyway, moving swiftly on. So they could not inherit Meryton. So the reason that Mrs. Bennet wants her daughters to be married and wants them to marry men who have money is that so she has somewhere to live when she gets old and that her daughters won't end up on the street. Unfortunately for her, as soon as her husband dies, and he is older than her, so in the natural order of things, he will die first, she would have to leave her home, as would the girls. So they do need to get married. Unfortunately, they cannot inherit.
So Zach, what about your character? What kind of feelings is he going through throughout this play?
Yes, so I play the part of Mr. Bingley. He is a wealthy socialite and has the money, has the reputation, and is known for being kind of the ladies' man, a perfect husband in the eyes of the women in town.
Basically, you're playing yourself.
Without the money, yes. He comes into the country, normally living in London, comes into the country and kind of takes the heart of all the women, and everyone sees him at the ball. And so there is, obviously a power dynamic between men and women in society at this time. Obviously, men, like Karen said, have all the power and basically own women and really kind of are the key for women to be able to kind of move up in society. And so there is a lot of pressure on men to be able to provide for the family, be the sole provider and really be the head of the house. And so for my character, he is very much an rose-colored glasses kind of person and always sees the positivity in everybody. And, you know, I do personally feel like he does face a lot of pressures and has to kind of deal with that societal norms and what's placed upon him. But I think he does a good job of handling it and, you know, being able to find the little joys in life. So I think that my character, honestly, is probably a little bit different than the typical man in this time period. But I feel like a character like Darcy is a very good example of that in terms of really paying attention to kind of the class system that set up in the time period, and also obviously pride and having pride in who you are and who you interact with and who you marry and things like that. So I think that there is a lot of expectations set on men in this time like that.
Excellent, wonderful answer. So if so much pressure is pent on wanting to marry, why would Jane Austen write about Lizzie Bennet, who is determined never to marry? What's going on in her head? What do you think? What do you think, Chiron, maybe? What do you think, Karen? What's going on in Lizzie's head? Why would she not want to be married?
Well, I mean, at least to me, I think she's seen a bad model of a marriage in the form of her parents. She's seen the hypergamous marriage of a woman marrying into the gentry and really getting there just because she was quite beautiful. But really, she and her husband were a perfectly awful match. So I think for at least Elizabeth, she probably feels like it's not worth the effort, especially if you don't get to know the person well enough. And she also sees it as a form of imprisonment, I suppose, because once you got married in that era, I mean, you're locked in. Divorce is not an option. You have to stay with this person for forever, really, unless you want to face any type of social ostracization. So a commitment like that is something that I imagine she probably doesn't want to make unless she's 100% sure that it's a person who makes sense. So what I did find interesting about this adaptation of the play is that, of the book rather, is that, you know, she makes it clear that she doesn't want to marry at all, which is, I suppose, something of a departure from the novel, where it's never necessarily stated that Elizabeth doesn't want to marry at all. It's just that, you know, she doesn't necessarily think very highly of the institution, but it's not like she judges people for getting married or that she doesn't want to marry at all. I found this to be an interesting take on the character, but I guess it makes it all the more interesting when she does eventually couple up with Mr. Darcy by the end of the story. Because if she started from never and ended up with Mr. Darcy, that's an evolution. And I think that that's really interesting.
So that's from the time period. Let's go into the rehearsal process. We are being directed by Xander Coleman for his first main stage Tokyo play, and our first play since COVID times. Our first play since, what was it? October 2019. Oh my God, it's been so long.
It was BC before Corona. That's the new BC.
I know, right? I feel like 100 years older since then. Wow. So we're going to have our first stage play since Corona times, a 150 person audience theater. So we've got so many safety precautions in place. We got so many new rules in place. So let me ask y'all, Karen and Zach, what's the rehearsal process like?
The rehearsal process is in many ways not that different than how rehearsal processes were before we had the pandemic. I suppose the biggest difference is the mask. It's actually quite hard to act when you're wearing a mask, and it's quite hard to project your voice. So for the larger rehearsals with lots of people, we are still wearing masks in the rehearsal space. I think as things have changed in Tokyo, this is going to be something that isn't necessarily required, but again, it depends on the comfort of everybody in the room. So that has certainly been a change. But apart from that, the rehearsal process is fairly similar. I suppose we're using Zoom more than we would ever have considered beforehand. So there have been some online rehearsals. And let's face it, you can do lots of conversation whilst you're online, but it is pretty tricky if you wanted to do like a blocking rehearsal and actually run the scene. And Zoom sucks if you want to do anything regarding pace. And this piece is supposed to be fast moving. So whilst you're on Zoom, you can't even tell if the person's finishing speaking, whether they're about to start speaking. We had a horrible lag in one of the rehearsals, which was really comical in many ways, because we got to watch, you know, Lizzie's mouth move and no words come out, and then the words come out. And it doesn't really help with what Xander is trying to do with the piece. So I suppose those are the major changes.
Yes, I would say that especially the Zoom rehearsals, though, I think one positive thing is that it is much more convenient to rehearse over Zoom, and it actually kind of gives way to doing more discussions about the characters, discussions about their situation. So we can't really act over it. Of course we can read, but can't really act. So it actually gives us dedicated time to discuss with each other, brainstorm, come up with deeper understanding of the characters and the situations that they're in. It's more so than I've experienced in the past, because a lot of times when we're in the space together, we're just focusing on the acting and blocking and all of that. Whereas now, if we do things over Zoom, it's like, okay, let's actually take it back a little bit. What do you feel about this character? What do you think about that character? What's our relationship? So I've actually personally liked that part of Zoom.
Nice. I like that. So when people hear about Jane Austen, they think of it as love stories, but honestly, she's a really good humor writer as well. Do you want to talk about the humor of the play? Do you have a favorite line maybe you want to share with us?
Well, I will share a line that I'm sure you will enjoy. Balls, balls, balls. I cannot get enough of them.
I love low-hanging fruit. Low-hanging fruit right there. It was so easy to reach. I didn't even have to lift my elbow.
Absolutely. In America, there's the energy drink called balls. So you can just drink balls, put balls in your mouth and go.
Well, I mean, I only mentioned it because of Tokyo Closet Ball. I mean, what others could I possibly be referring to?
Liza Minnelli, lies.
All right. How about you, Zach? What do you think about the humor in the play?
I think that the humor is really great, because I think that you have a lot of very subtle humor within the lines themselves, maybe even just a single word that's humorous. So it's super subtle, but then you have very grandiose physical humor that's going on. My character has a lot of physical humor. There's an entire character that's built around this running gag throughout the entire play. I won't ruin what it is, but it's one of the daughters, so you will definitely catch on very quick. But I love the contrast between the various types of humor that she incorporates into it. So it's for everyone. Everyone can notice the big things, but you kind of have to really be paying attention for the smaller ones.
Right. The fuck is her name? Kate Hamill? Is that it?
Yes,
Kate Hamill. She actually makes a very interesting, lots of interesting decisions in the adaptation. For example, there's one part where Elizabeth says, where the fuck is it?
Does she say that? Oh my goodness. Yes. Elizabeth.
I know, I've missed that rehearsal.
There's this one part where Elizabeth says in the book, "Sir, I appreciate the struggle you've been through." And in the Kate version, she just says, "What?" That's some good adaptation. I like that.
Yes, I like that. It's not, as they say, it's not your grandmother's Pride and Prejudice, you know. It is quite modern. Language is quite modern and accessible, which I think is often quite difficult for lots of readers. I've had lots of friends try to read Jane Austen over the years and they'll be like, it's too dense, the language is too difficult for me to really get into it. But I think an adaptation of this nature is so good at capturing the essence of the characters and of the stories while also being modern and fun.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of modern and fun, let's go to Artist Spotlight.
Baby, come on.
Okay, be serious. This is business time. Let's move on to Artist Spotlight, Kate Hamill, doing modern takes on classic literature. She was quoted on NPR interview saying, she likes to create pieces that are theatrical and unexpected. So I went through some of her work. She's done girly things, Little Women, Pride and Prejudice, that sort of thing. And then this one title jumped out at me, Dracula. A feminist revenge fantasy. I'm like, ooh, what? I want to see that. So I Googled it. I saw a promo video. And I am so excited about this adaptation. She takes Dracula and makes him this white, entitled, rich boy.
And I mean, that's accurate.
And the other characters, like most of the other characters are cast as women. Like Van Helsing is cast as a woman. And that's super awesome. Mm-hmm. Like so many people, they say, oh, Dracula. It's a love story. Meanwhile, Kate's like, no, he's actually a predator. This is a story about a predator, so let's write it that way. So yeah, even though it's unexpected, she still follows the text very
accurately.
Accurately, yes, and with respect to what was actually intended in the text. Like if it was misinterpreted one way, she's kind of reintroducing the text to an audience in a way that may be more receptive.
Accessible
to them. Yes, totally. Exactly.
Yeah, I like, it's like how Clueless is like a modern adaptation of Jane Austen's Emma. And it really does capture the essence of what Emma was, but just within the context of 90s Beverly Hills films.
Yeah, she just wanted to help all the Haitians.
Exactly. Iconic.
Karen, did you see the movie Clueless?
Yes, I have seen Clueless, yes.
Okay, never mind.
Oh, you sound very underwhelmed. I'm not here for that. Now hold on. Now we need to change the whole podcast because we're talking about Clueless.
We have a few minutes to talk about Clueless, sure.
I'm not completely underwhelmed by Clueless. There were some interesting things in it. I just think that Emma is probably not my favorite Jane Austen. Back to that again. I know you're not going to want me to keep saying Sense and Sensibility is my favorite Jane Austen. The Emma Thompson screenplay adaptation I thought was utterly excellent. That to me was wonderful. Clueless, it's not really my thing.
Well, one thing, if I could speak up about Emma, it's like, oh, the rich girl, she just has a rich husband and she stays rich, no big deal. So there's not really much class disparity. It's, oh, you married of your class. That means class of, at class, that is the way things should be. Whereas, what's it called? What are we talking about?
Pride and Prejudice.
Pride and Prejudice. Pride and Prejudice. We got a woman of low class and a man of high class getting together. And it's like, okay, okay, it's good to go outside of your class.
Well, so well, not necessarily out of your class, because at the end of the day, the Bennets are still gentry. They still own property. They still own an estate. They still own their own house. The Mr. Darcy had more pedigree and he has more money. But in terms of actual background, at the time, Mr. Bennet was earning £2,000 a year, which was a really large income. It's just he and Mrs. Bennet were really bad at managing their money. So, but they Bennets themselves. Yeah, in Sense and Sensibility, Colonel Brandon, who is one of the romantic leads, he similarly earns £2,000 a year, and it's a very respectable and comfortable income to have. But he manages his money a lot better than the Bennets did. So in terms of that, I always think people think that Elizabeth married up so significantly. She did financially, but socially, as she says, he is a gentleman and I am a gentleman's daughter. That means that they are equal in terms of social status, even if he has more money. Zach, do you have anything to add? Are you into like modern takes on classic media?
I can't say that I have seen anything, at least in recent memory, to come up with. What I love is kind of seeing, an example is not coming to me, but I love watching like movies like set in modern times, whatever. And then you're actually like, oh, but that's all based on like, for example, Lion King, right? You know, it's like watching a completely, you know, supposed to be a new story. Like, you know, you don't know anything about it or whatever. You watch it and you're like, oh my God, that's amazing. And then it's like, oh, but it's actually based on a very, very, you know, old story, but
Hamlet.
Yes, Hamlet. But then it's just like, then you realize just how those similar themes and concepts and characters can prevail throughout time. And it's like, there's some things that... it's basically still the same thing. It's just we've just changed the sets and changed the words and everything to make it applicable to nowadays. So I love that kind of idea of that characters, themes, you know, plots can be timeless. So
I love that. That's a really good perspective to have. I've never thought of it that way. That's really cool.
Yes, that was a great point, Zach. Something that reminded me of is Kyron's YouTube channel. You talk about basketball wives. Like how basketball wives are very similar to what was going on in Regency England back at that time.
Did I?
Yeah, you had a video about basketball wives. It was posted like 3 years ago.
Wow, that's the first problem. It was 3 years ago.
It was BC. It was BC, so.
Yeah, it was BC. Like everything, I love that. I love that callback to... yes, the past. It was BC.
But yeah, people marrying for wealth is so common. Like even fucking modern... can I say fuck? Yeah, I can say fuck. Even in modern day, I was just finished watching The White Lotus. It won so many Emmy awards. And that's just a lot about a man marrying a trophy wife and saying, why do you want a job? You don't want to earn money. That kind of thing is... just staying in modern talk nowadays, yeah, in modern discourse.
Yeah, but marrying for money, I mean, people marry for all sorts of reasons. I don't see an issue with people marrying for money if they're honest about it, and that's what they
agreed
to do. I mean, when you consider how difficult life is and how difficult it is for some people, they don't necessarily want to stay in the circumstances that they're in. So yeah, people will always, I think, marry for things like money. I think the concept of marrying for love can also be one that is slightly problematic, because I don't think we're very good at necessarily identifying what love is or what is going to last for a long period of time if we're trying to have a relationship. And we think of some of these relationships, we're saying they're stuck in them forever, which is not the case today in lots of places. But yeah, I think there's lots of reasons to marry, and Yeah, I wouldn't judge someone who marries for money.
Zach, would you marry for love or for money?
I am definitely a hopeless romantic. I don't really naturally have like an inkling for money. Obviously, like, it's nice to have, but it's not my first thought. So no, love all the way. Love wins.
That tracks for you playing Mr. Bingley, because I feel like Mr. Bingley also is very much that type as well.
Oh, for sure. And I think that the casting for this show has been just amazing. Like, I think Xander did a really, really good job of finding people that actually have parts or even their whole self of the character. So yeah, I'm very excited for just people to see the show.
So yes. Zach, which part of Mrs. Bennet do I have?
Oh.
Honestly, I don't think that it's...
It doesn't apply to you. It doesn't apply to you.
You walked into it, Zach. You just walked straight into it. Do not tarry. Do not tarry. I don't need to keep you here.
I think that you just encapsulate her so well that I forget that that's not actually who you are. That's what it is.
Lovely. Lovely, lovely recovery there.
Yeah. You just get so lost in the character, Karen. I lose you, and I just only see Miss Bennet, Mrs. Bennet.
And now it's time for a break. And welcome back. Now it's time for a game. We're going to play a game for you called Miscast. We're going to take a piece of media between a man and a woman, but then we're going to switch up the genders. That's right. It's a game called Miscast. Yeah. Gender. Yeah. Gender. It's about gender. I love your laugh, Karen. Take one, we're going to have a dramatic reading. Karen will be playing the part of Mr. Darcy, and Zach as Miss Elizabeth. Taylor will be reading the stage directions. On your cue, are you all ready?
Sure. What could possibly go wrong?
What could go wrong? I don't know. My computer could blow up. My glasses could fall off. I could
not be recording. You know, there's a lot.
Yeah. Shots fired.
Okay, Zach, the roast battle is next month. I'll invite you to that.
Who would have thought that it's Zach that we're talking about roasting people?
I know.
Cut to a Grecian?
Yes, honey, Grecian.
Cut to a Grecian summer house by the lake. The rain is now bucketing down. Lizzie hurries and sits down heavy on a bench. How do you sit down heavy?
Heavily.
How do you sit down heavily?
You know, like...
Oh, like a boom. Oh, like she's angry. Okay. Fucking playwrights. Okay, moving on. Horper. Those are weird consonants together.
Great.
Cut to a Grecian summer house by the lake. The rain is now bucketing down. Lizzie hurries and sits down heavily on the bench. Her poor sister, Lizzie gazes in despair at the rain, lashed landscape. Then Darcy approaches. I'm the first person in my family to graduate university, just so y'all know.
There's no doubt.
We need one more generation. One more.
Yes. Yes, my progeny will have a bachelor's degree plus, I don't know. What comes after bachelor's? I don't even know. Lizzie, what is she doing? Lizzie. It's okay. We're having fun. We're not judging each other. Everything's fine. Not judging. Lizzie gazes in despair at the rain, lashed landscape. Darcy approaches, sodden, breathless. He's in a state of agitation, far too agitated to notice her upset face.
Miss Bennet, I have struggled in vain, but I can bear it no longer. The past months have been a torment. I came to Rosings with a single object of seeing you. I had to see you.
Me?
I fought against my better judgment, my family's expectation, the inferiority of your birth, my rank and circumstance. All those things, but I'm willing to put them aside and ask you to end my agony.
I don't understand.
I love you. Most ardently.
Elizabeth stares at him.
Please do me the honor of accepting my hand.
Elizabeth struggles with the most painful confusion of feelings. Finally, she recovers.
Sir, I appreciate the struggle you have been through, and I'm very sorry to have to cause you pain. Believe me, it was unconsciously done.
A silence. Gathering her shawl, she gets to her feet.
Is this your reply?
Yes, sir.
Are you laughing at me?
No.
Are you rejecting me?
I'm sure the feelings which, as you've told me, have hindered your regard. I will help you in overcoming it.
A terrible silence as this sinks in. Neither of them can move. At last, Darcy speaks. He's very pale.
Might I ask why, with so little endeavor at civility, I am thus repulsed?
I might as well inquire why, with so evident a design of insulting me, you chose to tell me that you liked me against your better judgment. If I was uncivil, that was some excuse.
Believe me, I didn't mean.
But I have other reasons. You know I have.
What reasons?
Do you think that anything might tempt me to accept the man who has ruined, perhaps forever, the happiness of a most beloved sister?
Silence. Darcy looks as if he's been struck across the face.
Yes.
Do you deny it, Mr. Darcy? As you separated a young couple who loved each other, exposing your friend to the censure of the world for caprice, and my sister to its desertion for disappointed hopes, and involving them both in misery of the acutest kind.
I do not deny it.
Oh.
How could you do it?
Because I believed your sister indifferent to him.
Indifferent?
I watched them most carefully and realized his attachment was much deeper than hers.
Oh.
That's because she's shy.
Bingley, too, is modest and was persuaded that she didn't feel strongly for him.
Because you suggested it.
I did it for his own good.
My sister hardly shows her true feelings to me. I suppose you suspect that his fortune has some bearing on the matter?
No, I wouldn't do your sister the dishonor, though it was suggested.
What was?
It was made perfectly clear that an advantageous marriage.
Did my sister give that impression?
No.
An awkward pause.
There was, however, I have to admit, the matter of your family.
Our want of connection? Mr. Bingley didn't vex himself about that.
No, it was more than that.
How, sir?
It pains me to say this, but it was the lack of propriety shown by your mother, your three younger sisters, even on occasion your father.
Lizzie blushes. He has hit home. Darcy paces up and down.
Forgive me. You and your sister, I must exclude from this.
Darcy stops and gazes at her. He is in turmoil. Elizabeth glares at him in a blaze of fury and misery.
What about Mr. Wickham?
Mr. Wickham?
What excuse can you give for your behavior to him?
You take an eager interest in that gentleman's concerns.
He told me of his misfortunes.
Oh yes, his misfortunes have been very great indeed.
You have ruined his chances, and yet treat him with sarcasm?
So this is your opinion of me? Thank you for explaining so fully. Perhaps these offences might have been overlooked if your pride had not been hurt.
My pride?
By my honesty in admitting scruples about our relationship, could you expect me to rejoice in the inferiority of your circumstances?
And those are the words of a gentleman? From the first moment I met you, your arrogance and conceit, your selfish disdain of the feelings of others, made me realize that you were the last man in the world I would ever be prevailed upon to marry.
Darcy recoils as if slapped, a terrible silence.
Forgive me, madam, for taking up so much of your time.
Yes, word. 10 across the board. You better earn all the Academy Awards. I want you to get an Oscar. I want you to get the Tony. I want you to get all of it. You better get it. Work. Yes, mama.
You know things are fucked up when Taylor is the serious host in this conversation. All right, that was wonderful. That was the dramatic reading. Now it's time for the comedy reading.
Oh. Woo-hoo.
Okay.
Wait, it's time for my Xanax.
You're 3 minutes early.
It's fine. It's fine. Who are you, my doctor?
I know your doctor, so.
Don't tell her, please.
All right, let me know when you're ready.
I stay ready, so I never have to get ready, okay?
All right, Karen. We're just waiting on Taylor.
Let's see this.
Oh, I have to get in character, so sorry.
That is beautiful, Darcy. I love it.
Oh, for a podcast, she's wearing a wig.
Long hair, why not? Long pink hair, why not?
Beautiful.
I'm ready.
Ready. Okay, here we go. Cut to a Grecian summer house by the lake. The rain is now bucketing down. Lizzie hurries, sits down heavily on a bench. Her poor sister. Lizzie gazes in despair at the rain-lashed landscape. Darcy approaches, sodden, breathless. He is in a state of agitation, far too agitated to notice her upset face.
Miss Bennett, I've struggled in vain, but I can bear it no longer. This past few months, through Met at Neon Kaikon, have been torment. I came at the Rawlsings for the single objective of seeing you. I had to see you.
Girl, me?
Yeah, girl, don't be looking at me like that. I fought against my better judgment, my family's expectations, the inferiority of your birth, my rank, my circumstances. All these things I'm willing to put aside and ask you to bring out the KY jelly and end my agony.
Oh, child, I don't understand, boo boo.
I love you most ardently.
Elizabeth stares at him.
Please do me the honor of accepting my moist hand.
Elizabeth struggles with the most painful confusion of feeling. Finally, she recovers.
The audacity. Sir, I appreciate the struggle you have been through, and I'm very sorry to have caused you pain. Believe me, it was unconsciously done.
A silence. Gathering her shawl, she gets to her feet.
Is this your reply?
Yes, sir.
Are you laughing at me?
No.
Oh, are you rejecting me?
I'm sure that the feelings which, as you've told me, have hindered your regard will help you in overcoming it.
A terrible silence as this sinks in. Neither of them can move. At last, Darcy speaks. He's very pale.
Well, here I am being all vulnerable and shit. Well, fuck me. My ass was a little endeavor to civility. I am thus repulsed.
Okay, now hold on, Miss Girl. I might as well inquire why, with so evident a design of insulting me, you chose to tell me that you liked me against your better judgment. If I was uncivil, that was some excuse.
Oh, believe me, I didn't mean...
But I have other reasons. You know I have.
What reasons?
Do you think that anything might tempt me to accept the man who has ruined, perhaps forever, the happiness of a most beloved sister?
Silence. Darcy looks as if he has been struck across the face.
Do you deny it, bitch, that you separated a young couple who loved each other, exposing your friend to the censure of the world for caprice, and my sister to its derision for disappointed hopes, and involving them both in misery of the acutest kind?
First thing, Bingley was just looking for a beer. Don't make it that serious. Secondly, no, I do not deny it.
How could you do it?
Because I believe your sister indifferent to him.
Gagatundra Indifference.
Yes, I watched them at the Eagle Blue and I realized that his attachment was much deeper than hers.
That's because she's shy, girl. She's like a shy, pretty little princess, sweetie pie, honey, boo boo, chow.
Yeah, Bingley too is modest. He won't even let me watch him in the bathhouse. That's why I thought she felt strongly for him.
Because you suggested going to 24 Kaikan.
I did it for my own good.
My sister hardly knows. My sister hardly showed her true feelings to me, and I'm a bad bitch. That's the first thing. I suppose you suspect that his quote unquote fortune had some bearing on the matter.
No. I would never do your sister the dishonor. Though it was suggested.
What was?
It was made perfectly clear that an advantageous marriage.
Did my sister give that impression?
No, an awkward pause. Oh, fuck, sorry. No!
An awkward pause.
There was, however, to admit, the matter of your family.
A want of connection. Mr. Bingley didn't vex himself about that.
No, it was more than that.
How, sir?
Well, it pains me to say this, but it was your lack of propriety by your mother, your sisters, and even, on occasion, your father.
Lizzie blushes. He has hit home. Darcy paces up and down.
Forgive me, you and your sister, I must exclude from this.
Darcy stops and gazes at her. He is in turmoil. Elizabeth glares at him in a blaze of fury and misery.
You shady, shady bitch. What about Mr. Wickham?
Mr. Wickham, do I know her?
What excuse can you give for your behavior to my king, Mr. Wickham?
You take an eager interest in that gentleman's concerns, I?
He told me of his misfortunes.
Oh, his misfortune? I've seen his Instagram. His misfortunes have been great indeed.
Oh, shame. You have ruined his chances of becoming an Instagram influencer and yet treat him with what? Sarcasm? I think not.
Oh, what? This is your opinion. I have this accent now again. Oh, what? This is your opinion on me? Thank you for explaining it so fully. Perhaps this offense might have been overlooked if your pride had not been hurt.
Oh, my pride?
By my honest admittance and our scruples of our relationship, could you expect me to rejoice in your inferiority of circumstances? I mean, you know, in the dark room, it's all good, but out here in public, in God's daylight, honestly.
And those are the words of a Tokyo gentleman. From the first moment I met your shady ass, your arrogance and conceit, your selfish disdain of the feelings of others. I saw you at the marathon ball. I saw you, boo-boo. You were very mean. Made me realize that you were the last man in this world. And probably on Mars and on the moon and Jupiter. Every sailor, Scar, Sailor Venus, Mars, Jupiter, everybody. I could ever be prevailed upon to put a ring on my finger to marry.
Darcy recoils as if slapped. A terrible silence.
Forgive me, madam, for taking up so much of your time. I'll see you at the Eagle Blue next week.
Bye, Felicia.
Oh my God, that was fucking stupid. I love it.
My favorite was still, no, an awkward pause. Oh.
We would like to invite you to Tokyo International Players' production of Pride and Prejudice. You can buy your tickets for Pride and Prejudice at tokyoplayers.org. We have shows May 18th, 19th, and 20th at 7 p.m. Also, we have two matinees, May 20th and 21st at 2 p.m. Limited seating with strict COVID safety measures in place for your safety. All right, thank you for listening to our podcast. Chiron, if someone would like to follow you, how might they do that?
They can follow me. I post a lot on Twitter and quite a bit on TikTok and a bit on YouTube. My handle is top tier gender queer. I'm a non-binary queen, so top tier gender queer.
Top tier? That's some false advertisement. Okay, listen. Mrs. Karen Pauly, when you're in the mood to be followed, how might that be happening?
Oh, that went dog very fast, child.
What? No, you made a joke about not wanting to be followed, and it's a callback. Can I try it again? Mrs. Karen Pauly, if we'd like to hear more of your stuff, how might we do that?
Well, I suppose you could follow me on social media, but I will admit that I don't post very often at all because I find social media, I bore myself on that. But I do have an Insta account and a Twitter account and those things. I believe my handle is Chaos. But actually, if you're looking for me, it's simpler to type my name into Google.
Thank you, Karen. How about you, Zach? How can we follow you?
I am one of those millennials that does not have TikTok and is too old for me. I only have Instagram. You can just follow me on Instagram at Zach with a K, Z-A-C-K, Kobayashi.
Wonderful, wonderful. Make sure to follow Tokyo Closet Ball on Facebook and on Instagram to get all the tea you need to know about gender-subverse entertainment in the city of Tokyo. We're going to have our show in April 29th. It will be the first show of currently reigning Miss Tokyo Closet Ball 2023, Shalita Booty. Yes!
Yes, snaps, snaps.
What kind of performance will it be? Well, she sent in her tech request, and it'll be something that uses her brain, her beauty, and her muscles. Mm. So if you want to see that, Tokyo Closet Ball, April 29th. Drag Not Your Thing? No problem. We have a LGBT comedy show every third Wednesday of the month in Shibuya at Tokyo Comedy Bar. Go to the website, Tokyo Comedy Bar, to get your tickets to Out of the Closet Comedy, an open night mic for celebrating the voices of LGBT people in the city of Tokyo. Was that good? Do I need to say it again?
No, it was good.
I was 100% convinced you're going to say, Drag Not Your Thing, no problem. Go to Tennessee.
too soon. I love it. Thank you, Kyron. Thank you, Karen. And thank you, Zach. My name's been Tatiana. Everybody say bye.
Bye.
Where's the stop record button? Why is it not red? Here we go. Pause, stop. Stop. Stop, yes, no? Do you want to stop the recording?